347? Okay, 347. Any preferred verses? Oh, there's only two. Oh, that makes it easy. Yes. 140. 1 and 3. 140, 1 and 3.
Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness.
Somebody else. Another. Oh, there. Yes, Susan.
I have
130. 130. Just down the road. There we go. 130. Any favorite verses? How about one and four? Is that okay? Last one. Do we have one? There we go. Yes. Okay. 131. 1 and 3. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful, as always. Well, good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We welcome you on this beautiful fall morning and trust that this is the right place for you to be today and that the Lord will indeed speak to each of us with what we need to hear on this day. Just like to start with some announcements. First of all, we have our birthdays. Please take a look on the screens. I actually have quite a list of them. And as I look through, I see I'm one of them. So I guess another year has gone by. Boy, they go by very quickly. So happy birthday to all of my fellow October birthdays. If you've not picked up the October newsletter, there's copies out in the narthex. You can also view it online through the church website, or you may pick it up at the church office if you happen to be by during the week. Our reminder that we are the cereal church, to please bring your boxes of cereal to help out with our local food pantry that provides assistance to families and people that need food when they may come up short during the course of a month. Moving on. Coming up on October 18th will be the next pastor's lunch, and it will be again at the Legend 8 China restaurant in Calamasa. The cost is $15, and of course you get to have the best conversation with the best conversationalist in Yucaipa, our pastor, so take advantage of this great opportunity for a social outing. One of our own, Stephen Mickle, he's a chaplain with the county's correctional facilities, but he's what I consider taking on a great ministry and opportunity, but he is looking for slightly used clothing that he may provide to people who are leaving our correctional facilities and may be in need of some clothing to help them as they make their way back into society. So a great cause. I thank you, Steve, for taking that on, and let's support him in that effort. And let's see, coming up on November 4th will be our next Saturday movie opportunity. As it says, it is free. Can't get better than that when you might pay, goodness, what do you pay, $12, $13 now to go to a movie? But anyway, it will be the movie, let me see if I can get this right, the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. Say that 10 times quickly. I hear it's a great, great movie. I've not seen it myself, but it's a great, great film, I hear. It'll be in Faith Theater, too, so put it on your calendar for November 4th, 11 a.m., and come on out and support that. I see we have our Hearts Grow opportunity. That's for the children in the church, the second and fourth Sundays. And the children are welcome to, I believe they meet next door for that. And it's a great fun Christian growth opportunity and worship experience for all ages, using the arts to connect us to our Creator. Yes, okay, and then we also have a reminder about Samaritan's Church Purse, the shoe boxes. I believe November 5th is going to be here before we know it, so please make sure if you have picked up a box that you're getting the items to fill them, and be prepared to bring them back on November 5th. And I believe they also are looking to include a donation to help with the shipping of those boxes, so please include that when you bring them back. And it looks like we have three boxes left, so if, oh, okay, we've got them all, we found homes for all of them. Excellent, good job. That's what we like to see. And any other announcements we need to hear? All right, okay, I think we're good to go. If you would please stand as you're able for our call to worship. Whoever wants to be my disciple
must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.
For whoever wants to save their life will lose it.
But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it.
If you'd please remain standing for our opening hymn, I will sing of my Redeemer.
has loved me, from the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. See the sting of my Redeemer, in his blood he purchased me, on the cross he sealed my pardon, made the dead and made me free. I will tell a wondrous story of my lost estates to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. See what sing of my Redeemer, in this blood he purchased me, on the cross he sealed my pardon, came of death and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant altar, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. See the sting of my Redeemer, in his blood he purchased me, on the cross he sealed my pardon, made the death and made me free.
And at this time, please take a couple moments to turn to your neighbors and pass the peace of God.
We have quite a bit of crowd over Zoom today. Our faithful worshipers have gathered together, and many of them via Zoom. So I extend welcomes to each and every one of you here in this beautiful sanctuary. And many of you sitting at home and worshiping with us, you are all faithful, and I am so grateful that you have come to be part of the worship this morning.
Yes.
We greet Helen all the way from Chico. Helen, good to see you. Good to see you, good to see you. And Chris is with us this morning. Hello, Chris. And for those of you who did not come to the last pastor's luncheon, Chris shared with us that she has become naturalized citizen.
Wow.
So congratulations, Chris and Lois, so good to see you. And June and Joyce, so good to see you. April, I believe Bill's sitting next to you. Welcome, welcome. And David, so good to have you. And who else? Gina. Gina, wonderful. So good to have you. Yes, very nice.
Great. As we enter our time for prayer, we'll start with the sharing of our joys and concerns. Deb will bring the mic to you if you'd like to, if you have a joy or concern to share, just raise your hand.
Yeah, I mentioned Sergei last week, this Ukrainian gentleman. He's in the hospital. He has the probes in his brain, and they're waiting for him to have seizures. So let's just pray they're not too bad and that they get through the testing and can help him.
I'd like to ask for prayer for one of my neighbors, Leonard. He had heart surgery, a bypass. They tried to do several different things before that weren't successful. And the bypass was successful, but he's been having a lot of trouble and had some very serious moments. So I'd like to pray for continued healing for him and for peace for his wife.
Ron and I are both glad to be back after 2 weeks of not good. We come home to a refrigerator that decided not to work anymore, so it smelled like the city dump in there. And then the main pipe in my kitchen broke and flooded. So we are back now with praying no more bad stuff in the kitchen.
So I'm sure you got the replacement of the refrigerator, fixed the plumbing issues. So
yes.
Very nice. So good to see Tim and Carol back. Yes.
And I'm really glad that we had a good turnout for the movie yesterday. It was a great movie and it was fun.
Very nice.
As you know, Trudy went back to Maine for the funeral of her brother, and they had the funeral yesterday, and it was an emotional day for all of them, of course. She was able to connect with her daughter there, and so she's had a nice visit, but just prayers for her journey back and all of her family. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, Judy. I didn't forget, really. Judy is still recovering. She's doing well, but she's very tired, and she's slowly getting there.
Hi, this is Judy. Continued prayers for my brother. He is home now, and he is getting around with a walker, and nice. I'm pushing him because he tends to get lazy, but... have you done your sprints, as he says, as he walks up and down the hallways and he does his exercises? He's getting better, but he does need continued prayers. Thank you.
As I was turning my phone off outside, I got a note from one of my friends in the Philippines. Gwen, her brother died when... some kind of terrorist group came through their village. And she's really afraid for her neighbors. They have no place else to go.
This is Pat Shores. I have a couple of joys. One, I went to the movie. There were not near enough people there. The movies are excellent. Everybody in church should go to those movies. It's silly, they're free. Then you can buy some popcorn and stuff if you don't want, but you don't have to. So you can go to a free movie, and they're excellent. My other joy is I got to go see the babies again, and they're doing well. And my one little concern is I couldn't find my camera yesterday, and I had taken it down to take pictures of the babies. I looked all over my house. I looked at my car. I did that about three different times. I never could find it anywhere. Turns out I had left it at Allison's because I had ridden down there with her, so I got it back late in the evening, and I was delighted to have it back, and because I didn't want to lose the photos I had taken. So that's my second joy.
Very nice. Patty's becoming an official promoter for our movie program.
Yes, yes.
Very nice. Charles, do you have anything to share? Charles, do you have anything to share? You gotta repeat.
Over?
Yeah. You gotta repeat it from the beginning.
Okay. I called Lucy Brumbaum, and it's a joy to talk to her. She always says, "Well, how many come to church?" And she just carries on the conversation. So it's no effort to talk to her because I think she's doing all of her food herself. I don't think she goes to the dining room. And now she's talking about some people across the hall she's going to get acquainted with. And I think she's doing wonderful. And if not, she's putting on a great front. Thank you.
Very nice.
She's full
Very
of
nice.
Joy.
I'll make it quick. I just wanted to ask for prayers from my wife and I. We're going to travel to Missouri this week and be there for a couple of weeks, finishing up my dad's estate, and also for Young and Chung, who are on a very long, extended trip all the way to Japan and Korea. They'll be gone for a month, they said. So anyway, just traveling mercies. Thank you.
And we should also be praying for the people in Israel. They're now at war and under attack. And here, we'll give you Susan.
And just a quick joy for me. Our son is getting married 2 weeks from today, so that's a big event. It's all the plans are coming together, so it's going well, but we're looking forward to a great event for celebrating his marriage.
That's excellent. Thank you. Congratulations.
They are not, so it'll be actually down our son works at Disneyland, so he got a great deal to hold it at the Grand Californian there near the hotel there. So
nice.
I have one last concern, and that is a friend, a former member of our church, Janet West. Her husband, Robert, has been in very, very poor health and continues to be. He is now in a skilled nursing facility until he can regain some strength. So our prayers both for Janet as she cares and is concerned, as well as especially for Robert. And I think all caregivers, including our own Judy, we need to pray for as they continue to give their care.
And welcome Susan's sister Jill back again. Yay!
Is there anyone on Zoom? Please raise your hand and unmute.
All right, and at this time, we'll join together in the unison prayer, which you can find on the screen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you fleeing from the unrest of our soul. Our self-centeredness often causes disturbance within us. Help us untangle ourselves and restore inner peace by yielding to your supreme design. We give up our will, our chart, and our own devices. We are no longer ours, but yours. Joy comes when we embrace the crosses given to us instead of turning away from them. May we deny ourselves and walk on the path, even if it may be the way of suffering. For your name's sake, amen.
Let us continue to join our hearts in prayer, remembering all the prayer requests brought before us, our loved ones. Let's offer silently to the prayers, the unspoken prayers we have for ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayers. You have been so faithful unto us all throughout our lives, and you have answered so many prayers that we offer unto you. Some answers may come late, but you have never failed to take good care of us. You have been the pillar of strength for the journey. And as we have been holding on to you, you have been always faithful, meeting our need. You've been there for us. and with us. You have watched over us. You have provided for us, protected us, and you have guided us unto this day. So all the praises and thanksgiving go unto you, O Lord, for what you have done. And as we join together in this wonderful place of worship, in this wonderful hour of worship, we ask your Holy Spirit to come in and touch our hearts and touch us individually and touch the areas where we need your healing, O Lord. You know where we are. You know what we need. And we just open our whole being unto you, O Lord, that you may come and reveal yourself through your power, through your Holy Spirit. We are yours, O Lord. We give ourselves unto you. Make us whole with your Holy Spirit. And speak unto us today that we may discern your will, that we may say yes to your guidance and yes to your plan that you have for us. So, Lord, we lift up our praises and thanksgiving, our prayers, knowing that you will do it again. You will answer our prayers. You will show us your love. And you will prove unto us once more that you are with us, that you love us. So thank you. We are here committing ourselves to continue to be the disciples that you want us to be in this world today, that we may bring glory unto you, O Lord. So use us and be glorified by what we do, by what we say, and by the works of this church. So now, as the community of faith, we offer our prayers in unity, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is His Grace is Enough, written by Melissa Kruger, illustrated by Isobel Lundy. You're hiding from me and look so upset. Did you do something wrong that now you regret? Oh, don't run away. Come sit over here. Let's talk together. You've nothing to fear. I've something important to tell you today. It's true and it's hopeful and helps guide your way. God's grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough, both for you and for me. If you make a big mess or tell a small lie, if you're lazy with chores and don't even try, if you get fiery mad and hit someone hard or cheat a good friend as you play in the yard, if you steal someone's toy or say something mean, what can you do to make yourself clean? Running and hiding away from the light, will that be enough to make it all right? I'll tell you again, for you need to know. Never forget this wherever you go. God's grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough both for you and for me. You might try to hide by doing what's good, trying to fix it, if only you could. You clean the whole house and work super hard, take out the trash and mow the front yard. Make straight A's in school and never complain, not even when lunch is soaked by the rain. You try and you try, you try hard as you might. Will that be enough to make it all right? My child, here's the truth. From God, you can't hide. He sees what you've done. He knows what's inside. But please don't despair. There's good news, I say. Whatever you do, God's grace makes a way. Yes, His grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough, both for you and for me. Here's how it works. Jesus died on the cross. We gain new life because He suffered loss. Though we don't deserve it, our God is so kind. That's grace pure and simple, the best thing to find. So just say you're sorry. It's amazing, you see. He paid the full price. Now we can be free. Not free to sin more. He doesn't want that. Free to live free, and that's the great fact. Believing in Jesus gives a new heart and forgives all our sin so new life can start. So there's no need to hide and no need to run. Now you can serve Him with gladness and fun. I love you so much, I want you to know. Cling to this truth wherever you go. His grace is enough. It's so big and so free. His grace is enough to change you and change me. The end. We all get things wrong sometimes, and we can't make everything right again, however hard we try, but Jesus can. It's time to discover what God's amazing grace really means for us each day. His grace is enough. Amen.
And you may remain seated for our next hymn, which is Just As I Am Without One Plea. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the New Testament, from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 34. And this section is titled, The Cost of Discipleship. Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Salt is good, but if salt lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good morning. So good to see you all. I forgot to ask Carol when the mic was passing by to share some good news. I mean, we already know the good news, but I think the whole congregation would be so happy to hear what we have from the news from the City Hall. So Deb, if you don't mind, bring the microphone over and we will hear from Carol.
Thank you. Pastor and I have been going to the city asking about a grant that they have available to help with the landscaping around the church. And hopefully we can make it not quite so much grass and broken sprinklers. I can't tell you how many times I've come to the church and found Pastor digging up sprinklers and trying to fix them. And it's just a very old system. And I think, you know, he also dug a 4-foot hole over here on the other side. It's just something that could be fixed. They do have a program, and David Moore had some landscaping plans done at one time, and so we were able to take those in. They were accepted, and we can make it more of a landscape without so many sprinklers, and so they accepted our plans. So that's really nice news that we got the other day. So thank you, Pastor, for your help, and I'm so happy that
that'll
go forward. Well, you came, you know, talking to the city people is Greek to me, so I was just happy to have someone else just listening. So thank you.
Yes, I know. No, honestly, I didn't do much. It's what Carol has done. She found the program, she initiated it, and she has spent all her time and energy to get the grant. So, and thankfully, David Moore, Rachel's father, he invested quite a bit on planning the garden along the Acacia, Adams, and that side. And so we have already a plan in our hands, which was a great plus to approach the city. And so I think we're going to start from the Acacia side, and not only will end up saving the water bills, but will beautify the church. And this is going to be helping us a lot to appeal to the community, and prayerfully that it'll bring some more people to our church. So thank you, Carol, for all your work. Yes. So we praise the Lord for this special grant that we're going to get, and we'll start working on it soon. So with the good news, I pray that we will all experience a visit from the Holy Spirit talking to our hearts, and God speaking to us through His Word and through the whispering voice that He often does talk to our ears and to our hearts, that we may be able to hear and our spirit may be nourished. A couple were attending their first prenatal class so that the husband could get an idea of what it felt like to be pregnant. The instructor strapped a bag of sand to his tummy. As he walked around with this new bulge, the husband said, "This doesn't feel too bad." Then the instructor deliberately dropped a pen and said to the husband, "Now, I want you to pick up that pen if you were pregnant, as if you're pregnant. You want me to do it the way that my wife would?" confirmed the husband. "Exactly the same," said the instructor. The husband turned to his wife and said, "Honey, pick up that pen for me." We know relationship costs, right? It is easy to take close relationships such as families and friends for granted. But intimate relationship with loved ones calls for a lot of endeavors and sacrifices. Even a casual relationship requires efforts to be developed. I trust that we all agree our relationship with the Lord Jesus comes before anything else. But do we, as disciples, know detailed costs to maintain and grow our relationship with the Lord? And how much are we committed to pay the price for that to happen? Jesus used easy-to-understand illustrations to explain the importance of knowledge, of importance of knowing the cause and committing to follow through. The kingdom's fate was in the king's hand, and the king had to be extremely cautious about waging war. The first step of waging war was to figure out his army's readiness and enemy force. Skipping this fundamental step is like going to war with a blindfold in his eyes for a sure defeat. Consequently, he would ruin his dignity and his potential disposition from the throne would be imminent. His lack of knowledge about the military power of his kingdom and of his adversary would result in the suffering of his people and the downfall of his kingdom. History proves that one leader's lack of knowledge causes deadly consequences for so many innocent people, and we have one just perfect example today, and that is Putin. In addition to knowing the cause, a king going to war reveals truth about the responsibility and the scope of influence of a disciple. It is often the case that the spiritual well-being of many depends on a single disciple. Acts 16:31. "Believing in Jesus, you and your household will be saved." One person can lead an entire family, a church, a country, even the world, to a right or wrong path. Let us be mindful of the magnitude of our roles as disciples in the places God has called us. There is no question that in a small church like us, each of you plays a crucial role. The significance of the knowledge of the cause is applied the same to building a tower. A builder is required to have a comprehensive knowledge of the cause. He may be ambitious at the beginning, but if he would jump into the building project, not knowing that he needs more funding, the result will be as plain as day. There's nothing good coming out of the incomplete tower. He will be forced to quit in the middle. The money and time are wasted on useless building project. The builder himself would suffer from disappointment and hopelessness. Spectators would also ridicule him. and the half-finished building would remain an eyesore. Everything that went into the incomplete tower was wasted. For these reasons, Jesus concluded, a disciple who does not know the cause is like a worthless salt. And I'd like to read it to you, one verse that's missing because I didn't give to Lauren. As you can tell, my eyesight is not cooperating sometimes. And interestingly, I use the NIV. I've been using it for the last like 25 years or something. I've been replacing it many times, but using the same version. And NIV include the course of the discipleship. In the course of discipleship, the lesson about the salt. And to me, the way I read it, the lesson about the salt is part of Jesus' teaching on the course of discipleship. So let me read that part. Luke 14 and chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Salt is good, but if it does not lose its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. And Jesus concluded with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, consider that teaching on soul as part of the course of the discipleship. Is there such a thing as useless salt? As you know, salt does not go bad. It is why we use it to preserve food. Why does it not go bad? Salt is a combination of sodium and chloride. If any of you has any background in chemistry, I used to be a chemical analyst in Korea and had a little bit of knowledge of that. The bond between these two ions is so strong that it is not broken naturally. Salt is dissolved in water and may disappear, but the component is still there. The ion, the bond, is not broken. Salt melts at 1,474 Fahrenheit and boils at 2,575 Fahrenheit, but the extreme high heat still cannot break its bond. What if it does not have a strong bond and it changes easily? People cannot use it for seasoning and preservation of food. Jesus said, we are the salt of the world. Salt is not supposed to be changed by the surrounding components. Likewise, the disciples do not change, but change the world with God's truth. Moreover, salt is essential to life. Have you ever thought about why God created us to sense salty taste? It is not coincidental that we add salt to make our food tasty. God designed saltiness to be one of the five basic human tastes so that we would naturally consume salt for our health. Salt is necessary for nerve and muscle function. It regulates fluid in the body, controls blood pressure and volume. The crucial function of salt perfectly fits the value of Christ's disciples in the world. As salt is indispensable, so are the disciples of Christ. If the disciples lose their essential role, they are like salt gone flat, no longer needed. How can the disciples lose their essential value and role? The answer is found in the illustration of the builder and the king.
The lack of knowledge of the cause of being a disciple is a root cause. A natural result of the lack of knowledge is non-payment of the price. I mean, if you don't know the price, then you don't pay the price. What price? Reprioritizing family relationship, redefining things that were once treasured, including one's own self, carrying their own crosses, and being the salt of the world. Jesus carried the cross we were supposed to carry, paid the debts of our sins we were supposed to pay, and gave us his grace for free. So it's interesting, Depp's message, children's message was like message one, and then this is a message part two, right? It calls for responsible actions on the part of the recipients of the free grace. It is important for the recipients to be aware of the price and pay the price to be followers of Jesus. Otherwise, the recipients diminish the value of God's grace. Paul mentioned this as receiving the grace in vain or frustrating God's grace. And for this morning, I'm going to use the term cheap grace for this. German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which I shared with you several times, defined the cheap grace in his book called The Cost of Discipleship, published in 1937. He explained cheap grace as the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ. That's how he defined. To find out what he meant by that, the social context in Germany in the year that he published that book in 1937 helped us understand cheap grace. Nazis took control of Germany in January 1933. In July of the same year, Hitler forcefully and unconstitutionally called new church elections. Bonhoeffer tried his best to elect independent non-Nazi officials. But by manipulations, the majority of the key positions went to Christians who supported the Nazi. In September of the same year, the churches that backed the Nazi regime passed a resolution to enforce the Aryan paragraph. You can guess by, you know, the word Aryan, and dismiss Jewish pastors and officials from their positions. In November of the same year, they attempted to remove the Old Testament from the Bible because it contained Jewish teachings. In the middle of this fast-paced Nazi influence, about a third of the German pastors got together, formed the Emergency League, which was the forerunner of the Confessing Church, to commit to biblical Christianity. Of course, the Nazi did not like the Confessing Church movement at all and suppressed it. Bonhoeffer was the head of the underground seminary in Fichtenwald to train pastors who serve Confessing Church. The Nazi suppression of the Confessing Church intensified, and in 1937, the year that Bonhoeffer published the book, the Gestapo closed the seminary and arrested 27 pastors and former students. To the eyes of Bonhoeffer, the majority of German believers were very hypocritical. I mean, 30% of the pastors got together and found this confessing church, committing themselves to follow Christ and Christ's teaching. What happened to the rest, 70% of pastors? They claim, the majority claim themselves as believers because they were baptized, they participated in communion, but shamefully supported Hitler instead of following Jesus and his teachings. Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Course of Discipleship, tried to convey a message against the nationalist church which treated God's grace so cheaply by associating with a notch. You know, they say history repeats itself. A similar tragedy happened in the Korean Peninsula during the Japanese occupation. The Japanese forced Koreans to worship the emperor as a god, and so many Christians and churches yielded to that pressure. Many of those who refused were imprisoned and suffered martyrdom. And it's repeated today. Where? In Russia. The patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church is supposed to represent Christ, his teaching, in what he does. But he chose to support the dictator Putin, who is the very cause of this bloody war that sacrificed hundreds of thousands of lives and wreaked havoc to world peace. Are we being salt and disciples of Jesus to transform the world, or are we changed by the world? In Matthew 7, Jesus spoke of the true and false disciples and said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." In the New Testament, God and Jesus were referred as Lord most of the time. There were like 667 times that referred Jesus and God as Lord, and only 24 times as Savior. Isn't that interesting? So those people in the early church called Jesus and God Lord, Lord, and only a few times they called Jesus Savior. What does it indicate? They confess, "Jesus, you are my Lord, and I am your servant." That's what it means. When they call, "You are my Lord," that means I am your servant. What does that mean? I know the dear price you paid to give me grace. I'm not a recipient of cheap grace. I know the cost to be your follower, and I'm committed to do your work. May we be mindful of the cost and be willing to pay the price to follow Christ and his teachings. May we be salt to transform the world by God's word. Amen.
During this time of the presentation of our tithes and offerings, we'd just like to, again, thank the congregation for your continued support of the church through your contributions, gifts, and offerings. Also, that if you have brought your offerings today, you may leave them in the plate in the narthex or send them into the church. And again, thank you very much for that continued support.
Saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. Now I'm happy with the Lord. Just a plain and simple chapel where humble people go to pray. I pray the Lord that I'll grow stronger as I live from day to day. I've searched and I've searched, but I couldn't find no way on earth to gain peace of mind. Now I'm happy in the chapel where people are of one accord. Yes, we'll gather in the chapel just to sing and praise the Lord. You'll search and you'll search, but you'll never find no way on earth to gain peace of mind. Take your troubles to the chapel. Get down on your knees and pray. Then your burdens will be lighter, and you'll surely find the way.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, this is our humble acknowledgement of the blessed life we've been given. So we give you this offering to you and commit ourselves to be the disciples that you want us to be, that we may continue to bring glory unto you, O Lord. So bless this offering and bless our commitment that this offering and us may be used to build your kingdom through the mission and ministries of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, Where He Leads Me.
Through the garden, I'll go with.
Bless us, O Lord. Strengthen us as we recommit ourselves to follow you and be willing to pay the price. We will go wherever you lead us to go. We will do whatever you tell us to do because we are your disciples. So, Lord, send us forth as we commit ourselves to carry your will out in this world today, and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.